Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11 o'clock here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening. As always, we got a great show lined up for you this morning on this sunny and warm, well, I guess you could say warm, Sunday morning here in Western New York. Hope you are having a great weekend, and it is a final weekend for the NASCAR West Coast Road Trip. They are in the desert today. Well, I guess back in the desert. They were in Vegas a couple weeks ago, but they're in the desert once again today. How about that? As the Cup Series is at the Phoenix International Raceway, or whatever they're calling it these days. It's not ISM Raceway anymore. It's back to just Phoenix Raceway. I'm not sure. But the Cup Series in action today, and we're going to have it right here on WGR. Our friends at the Motor Racing Network are going to bring you live flag-to-flag coverage of today's race. Pre-race coverage starts at 2:30 this afternoon here on WGR. Green flag just after 3:30 today for today's Fan Shield 500 out there at the Phoenix Raceway. And speaking of the Motor Racing Network, the Postman, Steve Post, is going to join us here in about 13 minutes or so here on the program, quarter after the hour. Steve is a veteran pit reporter for the Motor Racing Network with ties to the Northeast, a native of the eastern part of Pennsylvania, and has worked at the local short tracks in that end of the country along with the southern tier of New York State. And he is now down south, and he's been a pit reporter for MRN for a number of years. He's going to join us at quarter past the hour, so we'll talk to Steve about today's race at Phoenix and some other NASCAR news, and there's a lot to talk about this week. Also coming up at the bottom of the hour, the IndyCar season starts next weekend at St. Petersburg, Florida, and lots of changes in the IndyCar world during the off season. Most notably, the whole series got sold, and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway got sold, as the Holman George family selling the facility and the series to Roger Penske. On top of that, lots of driver changes and an expanding field for the IndyCar season coming up with the 24 full-time teams planned this year. And already more than 33 cars entered for the Indianapolis 500. So we'll talk to Nathan Brown from the Indianapolis Star and USA Today about that at the bottom of the hour. Nathan picking up the IndyCar beat from Jim Aiello, who we've had here on the program a couple of times. Jim now covers the Colts for the Indy Star, so Nathan Brown is the new motorsports man there at the Indy Star and USA Today. So we'll talk to Nathan about some IndyCar happenings at the bottom of the hour. But phone lines are open here this morning at 803-0551, 888-552-550. Also on Twitter at FastTrack550. And I urge you to check out my Twitter feed this morning. Check out the tweet pinned at the top. And some cool stuff going on over there at FastTrack550 on Twitter. And we're also on Facebook, too, facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. But today's race at Phoenix and the somewhat manufacturer parity we've had so far in the first three races of the 2020 Cup Series season continues to press on here with the lineup for today's race, as we have all three manufacturers represented. Am I saying that right? Represented at the front of the field this morning with Chase Elliott on the pole in a Chevrolet Frederick Motorsports. Kevin Harvick will join him on the front row in his Stewart Haas Racing Ford. And then Denny Hamlin puts Toyota in the number three spot for this afternoon's race there at Phoenix, with Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney, Eric Almirola, Kurt Busch, Alex Bowman, who won last week at California, Matt DiBenedetto, and Kyle Busch rounding out the top 10 starters for today's race at the Phoenix Raceway. Other notable names in the field, Eric Jones will start 11th. Martin Truex qualified 12th, but for the, I believe, second week in a row, Truex falling to the rear of the field. They've already changed engines this weekend on the 19 Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing, so he'll follow the tail of the field. Penske teammates Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski in row 7 today. Christopher Bell qualifying 15th. William Byron and Clint Boyer will be in row 9. Ryan Preece qualified 20th. Jimmy Johnson qualified 21st. Bubba Wallace starts back in 27th today. And that'll do it for notable names in the starting lineup for today's race. As the interesting start to the NASCAR season continues, another very good race last week with Alex Bowman picking up the win at Fontana. And really, he and Ryan Blaney have emerged here as some early stars here in the first three races of the season. Both drivers have had some great starts of the year, especially Blaney, who really had a shot to win all three races this season. As he finished second to Denny Hamlin at Daytona, was in the hunt at Las Vegas until the 12 team decided to pit on that late caution, which gave Joey Logano the win at Vegas. And then last week finishing second to Alex Bowman, who eventually won. So Blaney and Bowman have been two pleasant, I don't know if you want to say surprises, but top performers, and great to see those two young men have some good starts to their season. And actually, Ryan Blaney is part of what we're talking about this morning, because we had three notable news stories this week concerning the 2021 season in NASCAR. That is going to be the big theme on the program this year. We've talked about how much change is going to happen starting next year. Well, we got three interesting pieces of information concerning 2021 this week in NASCAR. And I would love to hear your thoughts about it, too, at 803-0550. The first of those, well, not the first, maybe I think it was the third of those pieces of information, but I'll start with this one last, concerns Ryan Blaney, because we got word late this week that Ryan Blaney has re-signed a multi-year deal with Penske Racing. And very fitting, since we spent some time here on the program last week talking about the free agent class of 2021, or the potential free agent class of 2021 for the Cup Series. And Ryan Blaney was in that group of drivers, but not anymore. You can, I wouldn't even say pencil in, you could do it with a permanent marker that Ryan Blaney is going to be with Penske Racing in 2021. So that's the first of those drivers that we talked about last week. Guys like Alex Bowman, Brad Keselowski, Clint Boyer, that are going to be, Brad Keselowski, as I said, all of those guys, potential free agents, Kyle Larson for next season. Well, Blaney now is definitely going to stay at Penske Racing, and that obviously adds a lot of questions to Brad Keselowski's future. Brad commenting this week that he's not yet had any serious contract talks with Penske Racing, but is obviously, you know, would love to stay with the organization, but didn't completely rule out, you know, leaving the two car after this year with the Penske bunch. But his teammate Ryan Blaney is signed, sealed, and delivered for next season and beyond. It is a multi-year deal. Blaney wouldn't say how many years, but at least for probably the next two or three, Blaney will continue to be part of the captain's army there in the NASCAR Cup Series, along with Joey Logano, and for at least the rest of this season, Brad Keselowski in the two car. So that was the final piece we got concerning next year. The other two big ones are a little more wider encompassing of the sport. The first was after the race last weekend at Fontana. NASCAR held a test early this past week for the new next-gen car, Gen 7 car. And I believe it was William Byron that participated in a test session in a car built, I believe, by Richard Childress Racing. And the most notable thing on that car was the wheels on it, because NASCAR, as part of the car for next season, the next-gen car, the wheels are getting bigger, going from 15 inches to 18 inches. They're going to have aluminum rims instead of steel rims. And the biggest change is no longer will it be a 5-lug nut wheel, but instead one big center lug nut to attach the wheels to the car. So after this season, you will no longer see the traditional tire changers in the sport hitting all 5 lugs to get the tire on and off of a Cup car, because it'll just be one big center lug nut. And the reason for that, according to NASCAR, is the aluminum wheels. It would just not be safe to try the traditional 5-lug nut method, because even with just 1 lug nut loose on an aluminum 18-inch wheel, it could do damage if one of those lug nuts became loose, and could really, even with 1 lug nut missing, could cause the wheel to fall off or have that rim become damaged and then fall off of the car. So NASCAR has said that it'll be a single center lug to keep the wheels affixed to the Cup cars as part of the next-gen car in 2021. Xfinity trucks, they'll stay the traditional 5-lug nut system, but this will be the final year in the Cup Series where you will see the pit crew guys going all the way around the wheel, hitting all 5 of those lugs to get the tires on and off of the car. So that is a big change, and something that annoyed the typical NASCAR fan that loves to complain whenever there are changes in the sport. It's not going to bother me any. You know, the pit stops are going to remain the same outside of going from five lugs to one center lug. They're still going to, you know, it's not going to look like a Formula One pit stop where all the guys are, you know, ready, sitting there on pit road and the car swoops in and it swoops off pit road in about 5 seconds. It's still going to look like a traditional NASCAR pit stop. Just they're changing the one lug instead, they're loosening and then tightening the one lug instead of five. But they'll still, you know, swing around the car. It'll still be just two tire changers. They'll swing around if it's a four tire stop and everything. But really, it may make the pit stops a little bit quicker, but it'll still look like the traditional NASCAR pit stop with this one lug nut. Also, it makes the tire carrier's job, the people when they carry the tire, it'll be a little bit lighter, obviously, with an aluminum wheel versus a steel wheel rim on these cars. So that'll also make things a little bit easier for the guys on pit road. But so that'll be a big change going for the next-gen car for 2021, but NASCAR confirming that detail as it was quickly spotted by those that were there for the test session, I believe, which was on Monday there at Fontana. Everybody quickly noticed that it was a center lug, and then NASCAR had to come out and say, yep, we're officially, that's a change that's going to be for next year. So it'll be interesting how it looks on track with the center lug and a larger wheel on these next-gen cars. The final interesting piece of information we got this week concerning 2021 in NASCAR was about the schedule. Back at Daytona, almost a month ago now, if you can believe it, NASCAR announcing that the 2021 Daytona 500 would be on Sunday, February 14th, which means it would be a full week from the Super Bowl next year to the Daytona 500. Unlike the last few years, we've had that Daytona 500, the Sunday in between, which was usually the clash race, and then the Daytona was always 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. NASCAR saying that it would be the following Sunday next year with the Super Bowl on February 7th, and then the Daytona 500 on February 14th. So that led to a lot of questions about the schedule for speed weeks because of the Busch clash. You know, was usually in that week in between. Well, NASCAR officially announced this week that Speed Weeks at Daytona is more going to be a speed week. All the on-track events connected to the Daytona 500 now will be compressed into a one-week schedule, which will start on Tuesday night, the Clash race, the Busch Clash, which was traditionally a Sunday race, Sunday afternoon race when it was created in the last couple of years. They tried that Saturday thing for a few years. It is going to be a Tuesday night race now. And instead of running on the two and a half mile course, the traditional oval that the Cup cars run on for the Daytona 500, the Clash race will be run on the road course at Daytona, the infield road course that they run the sports cars on for the 24 hours of Daytona in January. That is where the Cup cars are going to run the Clash race. So adding in another wrinkle to the Clash for next season. But that ties in two big points that fans have been supposedly clamoring for: A, midweek races. There's a lot of people calling for more midweek races, and B, more road course racing in NASCAR because of the popularity of the events at Sonoma and Watkins Glen. You're going to see the Clash race at the road course. I, for one, road course racing in NASCAR has been pretty cool the last few years. I didn't need the Busch Clash to be on the road course of Daytona. It's not that I'm still going to watch it. It'll be fun to see, believe me, but, you know, just leave them on the oval. Make it shorter. Go back to what it was when it was a 10-lap race or a 20-lap race, not this 55, 75-lap race. You know, just put them out there for 10, 20 laps, no pit stops, and just see what happens. I think it's I think it adds to the intrigue and excitement of that race. The shorter the better with that event, I think. That was part of the allure tour when it was first created. So the Busch Clash will be Tuesday. Daytona pole qualifying, which was also that same day as the Clash this past year, that's Sunday before the Daytona 500. That will now be Wednesday. They'll qualify the field and lock in the front row. So there will be, you know, just a 24-hour turnaround until the dual races, which will be the traditional Thursday before the 500, the Thursday night, and then Friday trucks, Saturday Xfinity, Sunday Daytona 500. But again, it's going to be a speed week at Daytona instead of speed weeks. to condense it, carve another schedule out of the, or carve another week out of the NASCAR schedule. It'll be interesting to see how the short tracks react to this. The places like Volusia and New Smyrna, which have also been a big part of Speed Weeks in Florida there. How will they change their schedules? And, you know, that kind of hurts the tracks that run that you know, usually had a wide open couple of days there, that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before the duels usually were wide open and the folks would go to the short tracks. Now they've lost two nights to on-track action at the big track in Daytona, Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll see how the short tracks react to that as well. We'll get back to that later on, but right now let's go to the Western Hotline and bring in from the Motor Racing Network, veteran pit reporter Steve Post joins us on the line. Postman is Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk to you again.
Man, it's always great to catch up with you, Dave. Hope all is well up there.
We are doing just fine here in Western New York. A nice sunny afternoon. And come 2:30, Steve, we're going to be listening to your colleagues there in Phoenix today for today's race here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And it's going to be a pretty good one down there in the desert.
We've got a lot of variables in this race, Dave. When we look at it, we're looking at a different tire setup than we've had in the past and a lot of a tire fall-off. And tire fall-off is an interesting thing. It doesn't sound all that good, but those that know racing in a long-term sense, it'll provide some opportunities for some guys to work on their chassis. So we have that. We have a little traction compound, PJ1, on the outside of the racetrack that I think drivers are going to be flirting with, and restarts here are crazy. So, yeah, Phoenix is going to be wild here this afternoon, and a lot of uncertainty, really, when we look at it. There's a lot of shrugging shoulders. I don't know. We'll have to see what it feels like when we get out there in the race.
Yeah, for the big reason for that, is Steve mentioned, is the fact that NASCAR has brought back the 2018 aero package for these cars.
Yep.
And which is interesting because it'll be the first time the Chevrolets with their current configuration will run under that package. Same for the Fords with the Mustang. So two out of the three manufacturers have even more question marks than maybe the Toyotas. So it's definitely going to be a wide open race, Steve. And just look at it qualifying. You had all three manufacturers featured up front for today's race.
Yeah, 1-2-3, Chase Elliott with a Chevy, Kevin Harvick with a Ford, and Denny Hamlin with a Toyota are 1-2-3. And, you know, Dave, and I agree with you, and all of this, the PJ1, the tires are all based on the rule with the race car, the chassis, the package, if you will, that we have here. You know, but ultimately, when we get down to it, Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney, your top five. Those have been pretty good teams all along, mm-hmm. So it tends to sort out so that the same guys will get up front. I think when we look at this thing, I think you're going to look at Harvick's going to be really good. I'd be shocked if Kyle Busch wasn't pretty good here because historically he has been. And then a car from mid-pack that was really good on long runs was Brad Keselowski. So, you know, and that kind of falls under the usual cast of characters who run for wins in the NASCAR Cup Series.
Add to that, Steve, I don't know who's going to be working harder today, the drivers or the crew chiefs, because the fact that Phoenix now is the championship race this year on the Cup schedule, when they go back in November, they'll be racing for championships. There's a lot of crew chiefs, they're going to be taking a lot of notes so they have a good strategy to come back with in November, especially if they think they're going to be running for a championship.
Yeah, you know, that's been fascinating to talk to the drivers about, Dave, and you're right. This is the first time since we've gone to this format that there actually is a race at the track. Homestead had held all of the championship races, and there was just one race a year. So I think what's going to be interesting is you're right, they're going to be taking a lot of notes. What to me is kind of a fascinating time period is what tonight and tomorrow and Tuesday in the race shops look like, because mm-hmm. not only are they working on notes for the cars and tucking those away for when we come back here in November, but in talking with Alex Bowman, Alex was the simulator development driver for Hendrick Motorsports for years and years, and he said one of the things that people don't consider is that we will go back Monday morning and develop our simulator further. So it's even to that degree where the simulators will be developed starting tonight and tomorrow after this race to make sure that the simulator is good so that the setup that they simulate with in November is good. And then the other factor comes into this is that this is the first race with this rules package, as you established, the 750 horsepower, the rules package similar to 2015. Mm. We have 14 more, this is the first of 15 races with this rules package. So this car will evolve as well. So you're right. There's going to be a lot of note-taking, a lot of looking forward to November. but yet they've got to project a lot of different things when we look at what this configuration is going to look like in November here at this racetrack.
There'll be a lot of coffee pouring at race shops then down there in North Carolina Monday morning is what you're saying, Steve.
Yeah, job security for all the engineers and all the tech guys, that's for sure, as they work on projecting what this is going to look like when we come back here in November, for sure.
Steve, you spend a lot of time on pit road throughout the NASCAR season, and that pit road's going to look a little bit different next year now that we know we're going to go from five lugs to single lugs on the cup car next year, the next gen car. What have you been hearing from the industry, and what are your thoughts on that change for next season?
You know, it's funny because when I first heard that, I thought, whoa, that is going to be a huge difference in the pit stops as we see them. And talking with Jay Fabian, the series director, you know, it's amazing to me how fast these guys are with five lug nuts. Mm-hmm. And you can even hear it's like pop, 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 pop. So what is that, a second and a half? A second and a half?
Yeah.
And one of the things I think that's going to be different with the single lug nut is it's going to take longer to take that single lug nut off than the individual ones. How much longer, I don't know. So let's say that pop, 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 five lug nuts off is a second and a half. There's talk that single lug nut, it's still going to take a second to get that off from the car. So there's a lot of, you know, this may not be all that much different than what we're used to. I think we're in a really big unknown period. We don't know where they're going to settle on this. We know that they're going to do the single lug nut, but we don't know what they're going to settle on. How long are the threads on the lug nut? How does that work? So I just think that there's a I'm not sure what we know about what it's going to look like, because I'm not sure what NASCAR has determined what that's going to look. I think they want to see the pit stops remain very similar to what we have, and I tend to think that that's the direction we end up in when we get this all sorted out over the course of this year and into next.
Steve, being a radio guy, the biggest difference, it might just sound different. Instead of, you know, hearing the five lugs, we're just going to hear one. Yep. So your calls on pit road are going to sound a lot different next year.
Well, it's interesting, and you say that. Remember, Dave, last year when we lost a crew guy, when they did when we went down to five guys over the wall, it was strange because I'm like, well, it won't affect anything. Well, the pit stops gained about 3 seconds, okay, right initially in Daytona. Now we've got the time back down on them now, which we expected. I am telling you, it seemed like an eternity calling those pit stops because we had a rhythm, a cadence between Winston Kelly and Dylan Welch and Kim Kuhn and Alex Hayden was doing a lot of it, and myself. You had a cadence. You had a rhythm to a pit stop, and it was totally awkward. And I do expect that from a radio telling the story of it. It is going to see different. For my whole year, my whole career doing this, I've seen the guy's hands go in five times to take these lug nuts off, and you can almost tell when they have to go a sixth or a seventh time. You can see that it's out of cadence.
Yeah.
And so you're right. It is going to be different to see what that looks like and what it sounds like, what it feels like when we hit Daytona next year, for sure.
Steve, one of the other big news stories of the week was Ryan Blaney re-signing with Penske Racing. And Ryan, of course, his family has a great tradition going to the dirt tracks of Pennsylvania and Ohio. But outside of call at Las Vegas and a little bad luck at Fontana, but logistically, Ryan's been in the hunt all three races so far this season. He's off to a great start, and it looks like he's got a great future with Penske Racing going forward.
Yeah, Ryan is certainly off to a good start. That second place run at Daytona started it all, and then he's ran well. He hasn't got quite the finishes he wants, but he's still salvaging some good results in the other races and not qualified in the fifth spot here, so I think it's good. I think it was interesting chatting with Ryan. There are a lot of drivers on the market this year. You know, some years, Dave, some years there's one guy, one domino to fall. This year there's a lot of drivers. You know, when you look at Brad Keselowski and Clint Bowyer and you look at all of those, the other thing we have this year is one seat we know is going to be open, and that's Jimmy Johnson's seat.
Yep.
You know, so it's a fascinating time. And so Ryan Blaney took himself totally out of the debate, and he was asked in his media session on Friday, well, did you test the waters, or do you feel that you maybe left something on the table? And Ryan shrugged his shoulders and said, no, I wanted to stay at Penske. Penske wanted me to stay here. Why worry about testing the waters when we're both happy with where we're at? And so, so take his name out of the silly season. There are some, like I said, there's big-name drivers in the silly season shuffle. But his name is out of it. He is locked in and really doing well. And the other thing is that they did the crew chief change, And he's working with Todd Gordon this year, mm-hmm. not, of course, the crew chief that's been associated with Joey Logano for so long. And those two have really meshed well. So you're right. Short-term future for Ryan Blaney this season looks really, really good. And long-term future for Ryan Blaney looks good as well. He's got himself in really a good spot. And you're right, the family tradition, his father Dave, his uncle Dale, you know, great sprint car drivers, and Dave had a nice career in NASCAR, and actually his grandfather Lou, yep. an icon at Western Pennsylvania. So, and you know, he came up to upstate New York and raced some. It's really neat to see. The Ryan Blaney story is a really neat story, and we got another chapter of it this week with the contract extension.
Steve, last thing before we let you go. Next weekend, you're just going to be a couple hours east of here. You'll be over in Syracuse at the New York State Fairgrounds calling some indoor TQ midget racing. And I'll tell you what, Steve, my favorite part about those indoor TQ races is seeing all of my Western New York drivers going, kicking some butt. The Andy Jankowiaks, the Eric Rudolphs, the Nye brothers, Jeremy Haudricourt, Jonathan Reed, Bobby Holmes. A lot of great TQ drivers here in Western New York, and they're going to be in the field next weekend there at Syracuse.
I can't wait. That indoor racing, and I've been doing the PA for it for the last 3 or 4 years, and that has become some of my favorite weekends, and I can't wait. I didn't do Syracuse last year with the conflict with NASCAR, but I'm able to come up and do it, and I can't wait to get up there. And the reason I can't wait is just as you said, the great race car drivers, great drivers from down in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, great drivers from New England, and then the great drivers from Western North Carolina, the Catalano boys, is just amazing stuff. Andy Jay, I mean, he's just phenomenal watching him. Watching him not only race, but watching him work on his car and mm-hmm. what he's designed with his car, because he's such a hand-on guy. Two of my favorite people on the planet are Jonathan Reed and his father, Tom, from yep. over in Lockport.
Yep.
That is generally my first stop when I hit the pits on Friday morning, will be to check in with Tom and Jonathan to see how they're doing. And so, yeah, the indoor racing over at Syracuse is going to be great. I can't wait to get up there next week, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I follow a lot of these guys for all of their careers. And, yeah, the Reed family. Jonathan runs a sportsman at my Friday night dirt track, yep. Ransomville Speedway. And part of my you talk about going to see John and Tom right away. It's funny. My Friday routine, I leave the pit area, and I go walk to the front gate, and I always have to swing by John's dad, Tom. He's always out there in the parking lot doing some pre-gaming, so I always say hi to Tom on my way to the front gate every Friday night at Ransomville, too, so they are great people.
Yep.
Postman.
Sure. Tom is just a class guy, man. Just a great man. He really is.
Yeah. Postman, thank you so much for the time this morning. Enjoy the race today, and then have a safe trip up here to Central New York next week, and enjoy the things over at Syracuse.
You got it. Can't wait for today and can't wait for next weekend. And appreciate your station carrying us. And more important than all of that, thanks to all the fans that listen in up there in the Buffalo, Western New York area. We can't do it without all you race fans. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in each and every week here on MRN.
2:30 this afternoon. We'll have it right here on WGR. Steve, take care.
Thank you.
All right, Steve Post from the Motor Racing Network, and they'll have live flag-to-flag coverage of today's race here on WGR. As I said, pre-race at 2:30. Green flag just after 3:30, and next weekend, the New York State Fairgrounds, the Indoor Auto Racing Championships, TQ Midgets, if you've seen them outdoors here in Western New York, that you know they put on a good show. Maybe you remember the indoor races at the Niagara Falls Convention Center. I went as a kid a few times, and then I got to announce the last year they did it, which was like 2000, 2001, the last year before the convention center became the casino there in the falls. But one of the most, I guess, cherished memories in my announcing career, getting to call that last year at the convention center. That was something pretty cool that I will always be grateful for. And a big thank you to the late Harry Macy for letting me do that back then. And I wish I had Steve's gig calling that race. He gets to call the indoor races they do now, the series that the Sammons family puts on for Mary Auto with Atlantic City, Syracuse, and the other race up in New England that they do. All right, we get back. We'll shift gears from stock cars to IndyCar. Nathan Brown from the Indy Star is going to join us. We come back here on Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
11:33 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track, and we'll be getting Nathan Brown here in just a minute to talk a little bit of IndyCar. F1 making the announcement, or the folks running the Bahrain Grand Prix for Formula One, they've announced that race will be no spectators due to the fear of the coronavirus that the The Bahrain Grand Prix on March 22nd will be run without spectators. That'll be a quite interesting sight. The first race in Formula One history that will not have anybody in the grandstands. NASCAR and IndyCar have put out statements that we've been seeing from a lot of sports brands about, you know, they're monitoring the situation and everything, but no changes to schedule and no changes to any kind of policies, both for NASCAR and IndyCar here at this time. And speaking of IndyCar, let's go to the Wester Hotline and bring in from the Indianapolis Star and USA Today, Nathan Brown joins us on the line. Nathan, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Dave.
Appreciate your time. We've had your colleague Jim Aiello on a couple of times, but, you know, Jim apparently too good for us. He had to go get on that Indianapolis Colts beat, so we're happy to have you.
Yes, it's been a good several months to be on the beat here this off season. Certainly a lot going on and a lot to talk about, so we're getting excited, looking forward to a race starting here in about a week or so.
Yeah, next weekend the IndyCar season kicks off in St. Petersburg, but Nathan, holy smokes, the amount of news in the IndyCar landscape over the during this off season, and it goes right from the top because Roger Penske purchasing the IndyCar series and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway from the Holman George family. How big of a news story was this in the Indianapolis market? It was huge for the racing world in general, but I'm sure it had to be earthquake style news there in Indy when this broke.
It really was. It kind of trickled down to lots of different areas of our newsroom, just from folks who, you know, specifically cover the city of Indianapolis at several different levels in different ways. You know, people who cover entertainment here, with knowing how much he not only wants to turn that facility at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway from just a racing facility into truly some sort of an entertainment capital. I know he has a lot of really big picture visions for that place specifically. And then when you go into looking at what he wants to and has the capability of doing from a series standpoint, with being able to, you know, maybe have a little bit better ability to bring in that third engine manufacturer into the series that they've been trying to do for years now. The sponsorship opportunities that his name and his face brings to the series, it'll be a big deal. I don't know how much at a series standpoint we'll necessarily see this year, but I certainly think it'll be something that we'll start to really notice in 2021 and beyond.
I know they've announced they're going to make some updates to the facility there in Speedway. What are some of the things they've announced that they're already planning to add to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway grounds?
Sure. So it went through a really big overhaul from 2013 to 2016 in preparation for the 100th running of the 500, which took place in 2016, but is getting another, you know, solid facelift. A lot of those things, infrastructure-wise, are things that they were on the wish list when they started doing that construction for the race back in 2013 that just didn't get done with the amount of money that they have. So some of those things will include the western border of the track on Georgetown Road will get expanded. Essentially, it's the width of two lanes of traffic. So that road there that borders the track is getting turned into just two lanes there. So a lot better ability for spectators that go through that section. That's about half of the traffic that the track takes, both in ingress and egress during the day of the 500. You've also got the addition of several video boards, particularly on the front stretch for folks that sit there that just in the past typically haven't had that ability to either watch the race live from there, you know, when you can't see stuff going on in the short stretches or the back stretch, or be able to see replay or the running order of the race. So that'll be something else that I think folks that sit around there will really enjoy. You've got the purse expanding $2 million to get to 15, which is the richest purse that they've had in race history. You've got some small changes to how the qualifications weekend will run. So there's a lot of exciting things, both big picture and somewhat smaller, that I think will make this just this running of the race a little bit different and maybe a little bit more special for some folks.
Yeah, definitely, and just kind of shores up the future of the sport as well, too, in the hands of the Penske Corporation, even at Roger at 83 years of age, obviously not going to be around, I don't know, maybe more than 10, 20 years, but obviously the corporation will continue the great tradition out there with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the IndyCar Series. Another big new feature this year in the series itself, Nathan, the aero screen to help protect the drivers and protect their heads in the open cockpit. There's been some testing done. What are some of the thoughts you've been hearing from people connected to the sport about the aero screen for the IndyCar Series this year?
From a driver's perspective, I think for the most part, I mean, first of all, everyone's on board. Everyone understands that it's an important safety addition. I think there are some drivers out there, at least at the start when it was originally introduced last year, that maybe didn't know how necessary it was just because you can't make the sport, 100% safe. These guys are still,
sure,
especially on super speedways, going 220 plus. So,
yep.
But when you look at it, when they've been able to fine tune the piece a little bit, there still are some concerns from some drivers about air ventilation, especially when you get into some of those summer races and you get on some of those street circuit courses where they're not running quite as fast. And so the air that's coming in through the air vents at the front isn't reaching them maybe quite as hard. So that'll be something that we'll have to see how that functions kind of throughout the season and if they have to make any adjustments. I know, it's going to be fairly warm here at St. Pete in a week here next weekend for the first race. So that'll be a good first initial test. But they have put a lot of work into refining this, both with the off-season test that they did late last year, along with the open test that they were able to do at Circuit of the Americas in Austin and some other tests. So I think it's still kind of a work in progress. You won't really be able to know exactly how well it'll function until we get on the track and guys are running, 30, 40 laps at a time without a pit stop to really know how well it works and what some of the issues might be. But it'll be very exciting to see how that plays out here soon. And I think it'll be certainly a welcomed addition from a safety standpoint.
Nathan Brown from the Indianapolis Star and USA Today joining us here in WGR's Fast Track. All right, we've talked about changes to the series and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We've talked about changes to the cars. Now we've got changes to the guys driving the cars. And I think you've detailed it on your season preview over there, IndyStar.com, a dozen roster changes in the IndyCar series. And maybe the biggest one of those is the fact that James Hinchcliffe does not have a full-time ride this season.
Yeah, that was the big initial shockwave that came through about a week or so before the Roger Penske news came through in very early November. But
yeah,
that was really big news with Arrow McLaren SP making a pretty dramatic shift, going from James, a very veteran, experienced driver that has close to 10 years of full-time experience in the series, and they decided that they wanted to go a different direction with a lot of youth and some promising young drivers. They've got Patricio Ward and Oliver Askew that have combined 8 IndyCar races together between them. They'll be the 2 full-time drivers for them. But James, I think, has found a really solid secondary opportunity for him. Certainly he would have liked to have been in a full season ride in 2020, but with the timing when this took place, it was really going to be tough for him to pull that off and to be able to race 3 races this year with Andretti, arguably one of the best teams, if not the best team in series, a team that he has a lot of experience with, I think is really great for him. And I think with the right sponsorship growth and the right performances from him from a racing standpoint this year, that could certainly turn into a full season long-term situation with him coming into 2021 and beyond. They have a couple of contracts from their drivers that are going to be up, and so we'll have to see if he lands and holds on with him. Certainly I would expect him to be full-time in 2021, and that would be the first spot that I would expect him to end up landing.
And he'll spend some time doing some TV when he's not behind the wheel for those 3 races with Andretti Autosport. He's going to be doing some work for NBC Sports on their television broadcast. So he's got a great personality, and looking forward to seeing and hearing from him when he's not behind the wheel. A lot of changes. I'll just ask you, what out of all the other moves, what's the other off-season driver move that you intrigues you the most going into St. Pete next weekend?
Sure. I think when you look at, you know, from a full-season standpoint, if you look at Ed Carpenter Racing, they have typically run – they've had two full-season entries and one guy that runs the series full-time in the 21 car, and then Ed and the driver have typically split the road and street with one, and then Ed does the ovals and the other. They've got two – Ed's the only returning driver from them last year. They've got Connor Daly, who's a well-traveled, experienced veteran in the sport.
Yeah.
He drove for three different teams last year, kind of just had to piecemeal a season together, and he's now got the opportunity to get in 13 races for Ed's team this year. I think he's someone that if you give him a good opportunity, I think he's a driver that has at times gotten overlooked. You know, he's had the opportunity to drive in 500 with Andretti last year. He was driving top three, top four until a restart that he didn't get a great spark on. Mm-hmm. And ended up 10th, could have been fourth. I think he's a guy that could really help them out a lot this year. And then you've got Rinus VK in their full season seat. He's a rookie. Everyone that has, you know, seen him race in lights, been around him in testing, talks about how, you know, speedy and quick of a driver he is. I think with a lot of these rookies that we have in here, with Oliver and Pato to some extent and Rinus, be interesting to see how these guys adjust to the lengths of these races, the endurance, and not being able to just go completely full throttle the entire time. I think in some ways those guys might maybe take a little bit of a step back and have an adjustment period. But Rinus is one of those guys that will be really interesting to see how he adjusts. So I think that Ed Carpenter team, though they're not part of the quote-unquote big three in the paddock, I think has some good opportunities this year to in some ways turn over a new leaf and maybe kind of find their footing and some consistency this year.
Man, we could go, I probably could go another half hour with you because we didn't talk about Pagenaud or Newgarden or Alexander Rossi. We didn't talk about Alonso coming back. We haven't talked about Jimmy Johnson's future in IndyCar. There's so much to talk about. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But Nathan, thank you so much for this time this morning. Hopefully we could maybe do this again as we get closer to the month of May. Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks for having me on. Would love to chat more, and glad to get a chance to chat IndyCar this morning.
And you can follow him on Twitter, @_NathanBrown, from the Indy Star and USA Today. Nathan, again, thanks for the time. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, you guys too.
All right, and IndyCar, again, gets started next weekend, the St. Pete Grand Prix there in St. Petersburg, Florida, the annual kickoff race there for the IndyCar Series, which, again, is now owned by Roger Penske. And also owns the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He bought purchased that from the Holman George family. So definitely a bright future, though, for IndyCar. I think not the Holman George family were doing a bad job in their stewardship of IndyCar, but now to have the Penske Corporation, you know, steering the ship for the years to come, definitely a bright future. We come back, we'll wrap up this edition of Fast Track. We'll have time for your phone calls, 803-0551, 888-552-550. Lots on the table there, whether it's the NASCAR stuff we talked about with the Postman or some of the IndyCar stuff we talked about. Nathan, love to hear your thoughts. 803-0550. When we get back here on Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 FedEx Toyota, and you're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Thanks, Denny. Denny Hamlin starts third today at Phoenix. Again, the Chevy Ford Toyota top three, showing just a little bit more of that parity that we've kind of seen in NASCAR here through the first three races. But parity, we may have to put the parity aside because it's hard to beat Kevin Harvick at Phoenix. Kevin's got 9 career wins at Phoenix Raceway. He's pretty darn good at that racetrack. Starts second today. It'll be interesting to see who can beat the number 4 car today. He's definitely my favorite for this afternoon. But a lot of talented guys starting up front. We talk about Blaney and Bowman, their strong starts to the year. It's going to be, on top of that, all throwing everything we talked about in with the Postman, with the aero package and everything today, it's going to be a wild race. And, you know, get them fanning out 4 and 5 wide there through the dogleg. But still, Harvick will be, I think, the one to catch this afternoon in the four car there. Excuse me, at Phoenix Raceway. Don't forget, pre-race coverage starts at 2:30 this afternoon here on WGR Green Flag just after 3:30. I'm going to have a busy afternoon. I've got that to watch, but the Buffalo Bandits are in action as well, too, this afternoon. They're in Halifax to take on the Thunderbirds, which is the old Rochester Nighthawks franchise. They moved to Halifax, and then the Pagulas started a new Rochester Nighthawks franchise. And huge game for the Bandits this afternoon. That is at 2 o'clock on ESPN 1520. My good buddy John Gertler has a call with a pregame at 1:30. Bandits beat Halifax last Saturday here at the KeyBank Center. And so today's meeting is the rubber match of the season series. Each team has won one game against each other so far this season. So the winner will win the season series and the potential tiebreaker that goes in with that in the race for the North Division in the National Lacrosse League. And then the Bandits after today in Halifax, they go Friday to Toronto for a rubber match with The Rock, who just got two of their best players back off injured reserve in Tom Schreiber and Dan Dawson. And then they're at home 6 days from now. This coming Saturday, they're home against the New England Black Wolves, who are first place in the East Division. So a very tough part of the schedule for the Bandits and huge for their playoff chances and their playoff seeding. More specifically, where they wind up, whether it's, you know, winning the division or finishing second or getting one of the wild card spots. Lots to talk about. But Bandits this Saturday at home. So I've got that, got the race to watch. So I'll be split screening it this afternoon. Hopefully you'll be listening to one of those two, either on with the race here on GR or the Bandits over on ESPN 1520. You can talk to me about both of them this afternoon on Twitter, too, at FastTrack550. We'll be keeping tabs on both of those sporting events today. Thank you so much for listening. Great show. Big thanks to Steve Post and Nathan Brown for stopping by. And we'll be back next week as we head to Atlanta. We've got Cup Series in Atlanta. We've got the trucks in Atlanta. So we've got Chase Elliott going after Kyle Busch for that $100,000 bounty to see if he can beat him. That'll be fun to watch. And we'll be talking to you about that next Sunday here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.